How's it, everybody? Welcome back for another episode. You're here with me, Nick. And once again, I'm joined by Ronald. How's it going, Ronnie?
Oh, well, and you, Nicholas?
Yeah, no lacquer, man. What did you get up to over the weekend?
I watched a lot of rugby. Some disappointing games, some good games. Found my way up the coast to a boat festival. That's what these people do in this part of the world. We celebrate the boats. Back to Monday work.
Okay. Quite curious as to what goes down at a boat festival. Do people buy boats? Do they go on boats?
Honestly, boats. There was a couple of pirate ships, a couple of rowboats, big boats, small boats, wide boats, long boats.
Boats as big as your head.
One thing that I did notice that, boats as big as your head. But there's one thing that I've noticed about this part of the world is there's no boerewors rolls, you know, that we have in South Africa. There's a braai with a boerewors. They've got a braai with sardines, and you get a big sardine salted, and you eat. You eat that as you would South Africa, a boerewors roll.
No, man, that can't be lekker. That's the best part of going out to any festival here, is you can get a lekker boerie.
Well, if you expect a boerie, you get handed a sardine.
Yeah, sorry, Ronnie, I guess I'm not going to come and visit you then, hey?
That's fine, it's okay.
So I was down in Durban this weekend for a wedding. I didn't go down to see the Sharks game, but you know, Ronnie, when you go and you rent a car, and then they ask you, you know, do you want the extra windscreen waiver? Do you want the extra tire waiver? And no, I'm always like, not a chance. I don't want this cuck. I'm not going to pay you the extra 100 grand it would cost to do this. I should have done it, because on Sunday, driving back to the airport, whack a stone into the windscreen, and then the crap just ran right across the windscreen. So that 100 bucks could have saved me a good cost of whatever the windscreen's going to cost me now.
That's an unfortunate one. That's happened to me before in Durban too, but fortunately the company paid. I don't even know. I feel very sorry for you right now.
Yeah, that was a very unfortunate moment. And then I don't know, Ronnie, why I did it, but for some reason Nick decided today was a good day to try start running again. I was very quickly reminded that I'm indeed a front rower and not so adept at doing the whole run thing.
You're not a runner, you're a shuffler.
Much like my dancing, which is the Madiba shuffle, my run is also
which is quality dance moves, of course. But I hear you. I am also a shuffler these days and not a runner. Brisk walking, more like it.
Like Phil Dunphy walk.
the Phil Dunphy walk. Brisk walking. I break into a bit of a sweat after a bit of walking. But yeah, that's good. Good for your heart.
So, Ronnie, before we get into this week's content, we have a really exciting announcement here at Punted, hey?
We do.
We do. So we have now officially teamed up with Supersport Schools. We will, as of tomorrow, be bringing you guys the latest school rugby content, including video footage, reels, news articles. And yeah, really excited to be working with Supersport Schools on a new project like this. I think it gives us great opportunity to do marketing for them and vice versa.
Yeah, that's fantastic to hear. You're going to be watching some videos from my old school then.
Your old school, hey, your alma mater. Yeah, they've been on our Instagram recently, in fact, for the kind act that they did against the Penryn boys. But yeah, we're going to be bringing you guys all the latest content there. So stay tuned to our Facebook and our Instagram if you guys want to check some of that out.
All right.
Ronnie, then also a little bit of a shout out. We have a riser in the countries that is listening to our show at the moment, and it's coming right from Africa, Kenya. So I don't know if there's a lot of South Africans up there on holiday at the moment, but if you guys are in Kenya and you're listening to the show, welcome. It's lekker to have you. And yeah, please
send us a message.
Let us know, you know, where you found us and what you're enjoying about the show so we can bring you more of it.
Look, I don't think it's necessarily South Africans there. If the Kenyans know a thing or two about rugby, they've always been good performers in the sevens, right? We have a bit of a link with them, with Paul True having coached them a bit. So that's good to see. I'm excited for Kenya.
Yeah, that's very, very lekker. So, Ronnie, I just thought I should start off the URC chat by reminding you that I'm indeed the yellow cap holder for this week. You know, good ride for Nick over here. You dropped out of the top 10 and I rose up to 198th on the log.
I didn't drop out of the top 10. That's lies.
Where are you then?
I stayed at 8th.
So you stayed in the same place and I climbed about 160 places. Give me one more week and I'm going to be in the top 10 there, knocking you out, my friend.
Yeah, but the difference is, Nick, when you're so low on the log where you are, you're surrounded by people that don't know what they're talking about. So one good round and you jump a lot. Where I am, we're top of the shelf. You know, all of us there in the top 10, we know exactly what we're talking about. And we are strong Super Brew players. And so it's really difficult to compete because we're all making the same good calls.
Yeah, well, everyone in our Superbrew pool from 11th to 2,400. Ronnie just threw serious shade at you. So guys, let's get our act together and make sure he ends outside of the top 10.
Sure. Let's see.
You've brought this on yourself, Ronald. Ronnie, let's kick it off then, this week's action. So Friday night saw Edinburgh play host to Zebre. They got a 40-14 point win in that one. And you know, Sean Everett, former Sharks coach, saying after the game, it's not just about making playoffs in this season. They don't just want to make the top eight. They actually want to reach 7 or higher, so that if the Sharks win the Challenge Cup, they still qualify for Champions Cup next year, because the Sharks will knock the 8th place position out of Champions Cup.
Yeah, absolutely right. There's a lot to play for. Yeah, a little bit disappointing, obviously, for Zebre, but well done to Edinburgh.
Ronnie, then over to Wales, where the Dragons played host to the Stormers. This game kicked off on Friday night. I actually somehow missed that it was on Friday night and only tuned in from about the 20th minute. And I really thought the Stormers were going to lose this one in the first half. I mean, Dragons and them, they were very, very close. They gave their fans a proper, proper scare there. But great to see that they did come back with a comprehensive win, 44 points to 21, it ended.
And the reality is it's always difficult to tour over in Europe or the UK. So look, the well done Stormers finally pulling it off there at the end. You're right, a bit of a scare in the beginning. Managed to pull it off, which is good. You know, our teams need to learn how to play well away from home.
No, absolutely. I mean, the 5 tries that they secured, scoring them a bonus point win, setting them up to still contend for a top 4 position and home playoff spot. But Sasha Ngamazulu and Angelo Davids, they were the real difference in the Stormers side. 2 tries each for them, and Sasha actually scoring 2 tries within 4 minutes. So
yeah,
really, really
good. Which is good. Which is good, because he's a quality player. He's an exciting player and a prospect for the Springbok jersey, I believe. So I'm quite excited about Sasha's performance.
Ronnie, it was 11 points to 10 in favor of Dragons at halftime. And it's starting to feel like a bit of a South African trend to me that our teams are only really putting on 40-minute performances. And if we're not in touch, then we're struggling to make that comeback. What do you think that's all about?
Yeah, it's a little bit frustrating. I think a year ago, 2 years ago, we were talking about it's good to see the Springboks, you know, applying pressure for 80 minutes and 85 minutes and playing really well in the second half, but as opposed to how we performed, you know, 5-6 years ago in the second half of every match. And it seems like we've gone back to that. We've regressed a bit. The guys are running out of steam. It's long seasons. I don't know what's happening. They definitely are not putting 80-minute performances together.
I mean, 44 points to 21 looks good, but then you must remember the Dragons have only secured 3 wins this whole season. So that first half will be a concern for John Dobson when they face tougher opposition later on in the competition. You won't be able to have such a lackadaisical first 40.
Yeah, and look, it's business end of the URC. So, you know, you've got to start strong and you have to finish strong. Otherwise, you might just fall out of the top 8 playoffs.
So Gallant, he earned man of the match. I think there were a few candidates up there, but Storm is seeming to give it to the backs quite frequently. They are the top performers for them, and great to see the Boogeyman having a good game.
Then we could move on to the Bulls, my favorite team at the moment. Strong, you know, fantastic rugby being played by the Bulls all stages. But I like it was a little bit disappointing towards the end of this game, and they let Glasgow come crawling back a bit. So the Bulls ultimately winning 40 points to 34 to Glasgow. But I think what's crucial here is Glasgow secured a point out of this match, which meant that they are now top of the URC log, which is, you know, that's exciting if you're a Glasgow fan. But yeah, big comeback, big surge from the Warriors right at the end. And yeah, Bulls pulled it off, fortunately.
I mean, Ronnie, it was a 37-10 point lead in favor of the Bulls. And then Glasgow just turned it on, and the Bulls really struggling to contain them after that. I mean, that's a really close comeback, and it really could, with a few more minutes, have gone Glasgow's way. Will Jake White be chuffed with his charges that they actually held on to win it? Or will he be quite concerned at the fact that they, too, as we spoke about, turned off in the second 40?
Yeah, I think it's a case of both, right? So you're going to be excited and happy that you pulled off a win against the log leaders, but you're going to be disappointed in that second half performance, because like you just mentioned with the Stormers, you know, the Bulls didn't play any minutes. They played, you know, they scored 37 points and then they held on. They white-knuckled it and Glasgow almost pulled off an upset.
I mean, if Kyle Steyn hadn't gotten the yellow card, you know, who knows what would have happened.
Yeah, absolutely right. So Kyle Stein seems to be, he's your favorite player at this stage, but he seems to be quite crucial in that Glasgow backline. So yeah, him going off didn't help them. And who knows, had they had that extra player for 10 minutes, maybe Glasgow could have pulled off the win, right? So yeah, Chris Smith scoring enough penalties just to save the day. So that's exciting to see. If you are a Bulls fan, you've got, the Bulls have always had great kickers, so nothing new there. But yeah, look, very lucky.
Look, losing 15 turnovers as well is horrendous, especially from a Bulls side that has some big names in its pack. I think that's something that will also concern them. When you give away attacking ball like that, a side like Leinster will not let you walk away with a 6-point win.
True, very true.
Ronnie, over to the Sharks versus Benetton. Now, I was at a wedding while this game was being played, so I didn't get to watch it at first, but I knew that we lost the moment I got a WhatsApp notification that a picture was being sent to me by a guy I work with. Yeah, I immediately knew the Sharks lost it, and then I was quite disappointed to see such a close loss, 24 points to 25 at home, the Sharks losing it.
Let's just be glad we're not facing Benetton in the Challenge Cup final.
Yeah, and we were wanting that last week when we spoke about this, hey?
Yeah.
So, Jacob Maga scoring in the 78th minute, that snatched the win for Benetton. And Sharks will be concerned. I don't know how it happens that one competition, they just completely switched off in, and in the other, they're able to reach the final. There's something going on there.
No, I agree with you. I don't know what's happening there. And it's frustrating, right? Because, you see how well we've done in the Challenge Cup, and it doesn't translate over into the next week into, just a different competition. But, and that's frustrating because you want the team, you want your team to do well on both sides at all times. But it just seems like they just mess it up every time in the URC. And what do we do?
Is it an indictment of the Sharks' inability to build depth? Because they keep buying in these top-level players, but it seems like the backfill really struggles to gel as a unit when the Springboks are not on the field.
Yeah, we've got to buy a couple more Lions players, I think, because the Lions players have learned how to play for each other and play as a team. And I think at the Sharks, we've got a lot of individuals.
Yep, that seems to definitely be the case, Ronnie. So, also quite worrying to see three Springboks going down injured. Eben Etzebeth went down with a concussion and he's struggling with a stiff neck at the moment. Vincent Koch went down with an ankle injury and Nokanyo Am with a shoulder. Those are three players the Springboks will be hoping are not sidelined for too long.
Absolutely.
And then also halftime, Ox, Bongi and Grant Williams were pulled off the field to preserve them for the final. And that's when the Sharks really started to struggle. It was a 10-point lead that they held going into the last 10 minutes, and then Benetton allowed to score 10 unanswered points, taking the foot off the pedal.
Yeah, Ox, Bonky and Grant, those are three players in three crucial positions. We have Ox there for a reason because so good at winning scrum penalties. We have Bonky, fantastic leader, line-out stability, physicality on the field, and Grant's the decision maker at nine. So, yeah, it is disappointing, and you're right, what you just said earlier about not having those players that step in when these big name players go off is concerning.
Yeah, it is a very, very concerning situation down there in Durban. Hopefully they're going to turn it around for the next season because the URC is almost over for them. Ronnie, Scarlets, they went down at home as well, 20 points to 31 against Ulster. 3-6 at halftime with Ulster losing, but I think the two yellow cards that the Scarlets got in this game proved costly, and Ulster managing to get a good 11-point win, denying them even a bonus point.
Well done to the Ulster men.
Yeah, the Ulster men for sure.
Then we go on over to Ellis Park. The Lions dominating Cardiff, 34 points to 13. It was fantastic to see Emmanuel Chituka scoring two tries off the bench. And I don't know if I've told you this, Nick, but when I played rugby
In 1974,
when I played for the first team.
Most people start a story like this off saying a long, long time ago.
All right, a long, long time ago. When I first played rugby for the first team, I was a youngster. I came off the bench and I scored my first try for the first team coming off the bench, and I scored two in that game. And so myself and, Chituka following in my shoes, that's how legends are made.
You know what, Ronnie? I'm not even going to take that moment away from you. Yeah, Ronald. No, it was really great to see the Lions getting a win and a bonus point win at that. JC Pretorius getting man of the match. He got a solid 9 tackles. Yeah, I enjoyed
9 tackles. Nine tackles is not that much. Ask Peter Steph to toy does three times that much in a single game.
Very true, but we can't mess with the Malmesbury missile, hey?
Absolutely. But you're right. We'll talk about the URC update in a bit, because the log's very crucial, because the bonus point put them in shot for the top eight spots on the URC.
So you just called me out for one of the stats I gave here, but this other one also seems a little bit flat, because across the board, it was a pretty close game. But then I've said here, you know, the Lions more than doubled Cardiff's line breaks. They got 7. 7 also feels a little bit light at the moment, eh?
Yeah, you've got to look at it in context. You actually have to watch the game, because, you know, 7's a lot, considering the game.
Yeah, that was a tough one, Ronnie. But I've enjoyed the Lions playing this year, and it's great to see them getting more wins than the Sharks with half the budget.
Oh, is it great to see, eh? Is it good to see?
Yeah, no, not really. I'm gonna.
So you concede that, yeah, you know what? Sometimes some of these other teams are playing better than the Sharks.
Yeah, well, there's no denying the struggles in the URC. I mean, it's there for everyone to see. Ronnie, over to Ireland, where Munster got a 47-12 point victory over Connacht. Quite an interesting one. It's the first home game Arthur Snyman has ever started for Munster.
Unbelievable. I was shocked when I saw that. That kind of Munster being done dirty by Arthur Snyman.
Yeah, it's unreal, hey, that he's had so little game time, but he's won a URC trophy with them. And yeah, it's bloody incredible, actually. And then this win giving Munster a shot at a top four spot, which would mean they get a home quarterfinal. They are last year's champions as well, hey, Ronald.
They are, unfortunately, for the Stormers.
Yeah. Then over to Leinster. They got a comprehensive 61-14 point win over the Ospreys. That shoots them back into the top two of the log. But a 9-try thrashing of Ospreys is horrendous to suffer.
It's a huge, huge score by Leinster. And yeah, it just goes to show Leinster are very strong. Yeah, so something that we neglect to do quite often is talk about the URC log, the URC log.
Because you always forget, Ronnie, let's be serious.
No, I think it's actually you, Mr. Sharks fan, Sharks for Life fan. And that's because the Sharks, you know, they can get maximum points out of the remaining rounds and they still won't move up anywhere in the log. So yeah, we'll start off at the bottom like I like to do. The Sabre Dragons, Scarlets, Cardiff, Sharks. Sorry, guys. You guys can get all the maximum points you want. You guys are going to struggle to move, or you guys cannot get higher than 12. So, yeah, that's a bit unfortunate. And we'll start off with the Ospreys then. Ospreys in 11th place on 40 points. And then we've got the Lions on 44, Connacht on 44. And they are within striking distance of the top eight. So, you know, those three teams have got a lot to play for. So every point matters for them. But then the top eight, and we've got Benetton having found their way into the top eight now over that away win to the Sharks. They're on 48 points. Edinburgh on 48. Ulster, 49. Stormers in fifth place on 50 points. So, you know, they've also got, you know, everything to play for, because, you know, tops start securing those home semi-finals or those home playoffs positions. But then the top four being the Bulls, you know, as usual, and performing really well. Because
I was waiting for that.
Bulls are an exceptionally powerful side at this point. They're on 56 points, so 6 points separating fourth and fifth, Bulls and Stormers. Then the top three being Munster, 58, Leinster, 59, and then top of the pops goes to Glasgow on 60 points, you know. 16 games played, 12 games won for both Leinster and Glasgow, but Glasgow gets that extra bonus point, you know, this past weekend, which puts them top.
It's actually incredible to see that Glasgow are at the top of the log. But are you telling me, Ronnie, that I'm potentially going to have a Bulls versus Stormers quarterfinal just down the road from me here at Loftus?
Let's think about it. What does fourth place play fifth place? So you're right. Yeah, that's unfortunate, right? Because you know what? The two South African sides knocking, you know, each other out. So maybe it's probably better for the Stormers to end sixth then and go down a different road to the final.
Or they might back themselves that it's still in South Africa. It's better for them than traveling for the further two games overseas. Who knows what the thoughts will be. But the Bulls did beat the Stormers and end their run very recently. So
yes, you are absolutely right.
So, Ronnie, we've then got the URC action coming up again this weekend. The South African sides are all in action, starting with the Bulls, who host Benetton at Loftus. I mean, surely we've got to back the Bulls for a win in this one, hey?
Yeah, I mean, Benetton barely scraped over the Sharks, but you expect the Bills to absolutely decimate the Sharks. So Benetton, so we do expect the Bills to come up with a convincing win against Benetton.
You definitely are fully converted Bull now. Hey, you've got that cockiness. I'm surprised you haven't dropped a, oh, we won Super Rugby in 2007 on all of us. Yeah.
We are the reigning Super 14 champs.
Oh, is it? There we go.
Yeah.
I'm waiting. Hey, I want to see this Blue Bulls tattoo you've got on you now.
Wait a bit. My blood is blown.
Ronnie, then in Joburg, the Lions will be hosting Glasgow. Now, this is a tough one because Lions have been quite good at home, but Glasgow top of the log.
This is going to be a difficult one for the Lions, absolutely. But maybe they can pull something off because, you know, they've got everything to play for to make that top eight. And so every point matters. So let's hope that they can pull off something magical. But yeesh, I don't know. Glasgow too strong at the moment, playing really well.
I mean, like you say, the Lions have a lot to play for because they want to make the playoffs. But Glasgow have equally to play for because they want to top the log. They want to have a home quarter, semi and final, should it go that way. So a lot to play for both sides.
Absolutely. And then there's a dead rubber of a game.
Yes, you just had to jump in there and chuck that one in. So who's playing then, Ronnie?
The guys at the bottom of the log. It's, I don't know, can't read that far low down on the log.
Yeah. So Sharks are hosting Cardiff down in Durban. The Sharks need to get a win in this one, a week out from the EPCR final. Looks like they will be without the services of some Springboks. Yeah, it could go either way, Ronnie.
Yeah, especially since both the Cardiff and the Sharks are both on 25 points. Sharks have got amazing 4 wins this season and Cardiff 3, but you're right. So the EPCR. So that's very crucial, and the Sharks have obviously done exceptionally well there. So they've got a way of redeeming themselves, and we believe the shark that I actually am is definitely backing the boys for the win here in preparation for the EPCR final.
So, I mean, what does John Plumtree do with a game like this? Does he start the guys he wants to play in the final to make sure they match up, or does he rest them out of fear from what happened a week before?
He's got to start his bench for the final, you know, so the so-called bench for the final, they've got to start now. They've got to get games in. They've got to be ready. And yeah, geez, I don't know. Hey, you've got to work on those alternatives for those crucial players that have gone down with injury, Evan, Koch and So their replacements, you know, they've got to get some game time and make sure they are ready.
And then Ronnie, running off the South African fixtures for the weekend, Stormers on the road still, and they will face Connacht in Ireland. Also a potentially tricky game for the Stormers.
A very difficult one. South African sides have not done well over in Connacht. So, you know, the Lions pulled off a win. Was it the Lions a couple of weeks ago? Was it them, right? But the Stormers have done well, or the South African sides in general have done well over in Connacht. And Connacht got everything to play for to make that top eight. But then in that same breath, you talk about the Stormers needing to stay somewhere in the top eight as well to secure those comfortable playoff matches.
Yeah, it's definitely making for an interesting weekend of action. We'd love to hear your guys' predictions too, so catch us on the socials and let us know what you're thinking for these games. Maybe we can collectively beat Ronnie out of the top 10. Ronnie, the week's news, some interesting things going on. So firstly, the EPCR final is between the Sharks and Gloucester, but Gloucester got an absolute hiding this weekend, going down 90-0 against Northampton Saints.
Yeah, that's a shocking one, right? And, you know, getting 90 points against you is always bad, but they're not being able to score a single point. Yes, that's concerning if you're a Gloucester fan. But look, sometimes you've got to lose a game to win another one. So, you know, maybe Gloucester comes back and punches really hard in the EPCR final.
You know, this is the very definition of when the Saints go marching in, because that's all they bloody did. They scored tries at free will. What do you make, you're saying now, you know, not even scoring a single point from Gloucester, but what do you make of the fact that in the 63rd minute, they decided to kick a penalty for posts and still missed it?
I don't know what they were trying to do. Okay, rationally, it makes no sense to me. Or why would you go for the penalty there? Surely practice your set pieces. Pick for the lineout, you know, set for a ball and try to do a maul try. But I don't know, maybe they needed some kicking practice.
It was an absolute lost cause at that point. And well, clearly they missed it, so they do need some kicking practice.
Sure.
Ronnie, the Baby Blacks, the New Zealand under-20s, they won the rugby championship. We've spoken about how great it is to have that tournament in. The Boks got a win over Los Pumas. But yeah, well done to the Baby Blacks.
Yeah, and it was an exciting tournament for sure, because it wasn't just a runaway like we're used to with New Zealand. It was very competitive. And, you know, going into the final rounds or whatever, it was, you know, anyone's tournament. So it just worked out in favor of New Zealand. They dominated Australia. Obviously, their draw against the Springboks kept the Springboks in a bit of contention too. But the Pumas, fantastic to see. You know, they were a lot more competitive in the under-20 tournament than their older brothers usually be.
No, very true. It was great to see this, and I'm looking forward to it growing in strength as well. Great prep for the under-20 world champs, which is still coming up. Ronnie, then a couple of law changes that we have to talk about. We'll get on to the scrum law change because there's quite a bit to be said there. But starting off, what do you make of this whole thing that there'll be automatic sanctions implemented for red cards, for foul play, for what's not foul play? I think we are leading to an even bigger circus now.
Yeah, look, I don't actually have an opinion on this because I can see the argument made for both sides. You know, I can see an automatic sanctioning. You know, everybody's aware that certain red cards, you know, you're going to see a 2-week ban. So you can expect that already from the get-go. It draws a bit of a line in the sand. Everybody knows what to expect. But on the other side, you know, we've seen a couple of soft red cards, you know, coming away with the two. So, you know, it'd be unfortunate for somebody to be deemed guilty until proven innocent for something that is quite soft, right? We've seen that happen once or twice. But yeah, look, I don't really know what to make of this. For me, in my opinion, I think it's actually much of a muchness. I think sanctioning happens, but it has no real bearing on the way the game is going to be played. It's going to have a bearing on players' eligibility to be selected, but the game's going to stay as is.
Yeah, so just to be clear that for everyone that's listening, this is a law that's being trialed and will be reviewed in November. It's not taking part in all competitions. But Ronnie, there is one big law change that is taking part and will affect the Springboks going forward, and that's that you can no longer take a scrum from a free kick. Now, everyone will recall Damian Willemse dramatically putting his fists together, calling for the scrum, which you guys can grab on a coaster on an online store. Check it out there. But that's not even half of it, Ronnie, because that's something that happens really rarely. You've got to consider the fact that when a side has a weaker set piece, they can go down, give away a free kick, and you're not going to have the opportunity to call for another scrum and build that pressure on there.
Yeah, look, I think we've taken our liberty with using Damian Willemse as an example, right? And that was just, you know, that's not why this law's been implemented, right? There isn't some agenda out there to do disservice to the Springboks, right? So look, I wouldn't speak too much about Damian Willemse's call. But you're absolutely right in that, and this is exactly something I've been thinking about. If a weaker scrum doesn't want to give away a penalty, it's far easier for the free kick. And to do that, you simply don't have to set the scrum within the proposed 30-second timer that they're also talking about. You give away a free kick. If the hooker lifts his break foot, you give away a free kick. You don't even have to engage in the scrum at all, right? As long as there's a minor transgression, it's a free kick. So teams are going to take advantage of that. My only hope is that the referees start penalizing, actions there where players are deliberately sabotaging their own scrum set to not give away a penalty.
Yeah, I have to disagree with you, Ronnie. I think there's definitely an agenda behind this law change. It's absolutely bloody ridiculous. And Matthew Pearce actually pointing it out and saying, you know, on the 20th of October or whatever it was, World Rugby posted this out and called it, you know, incredible, bold and brilliant. And now it's outlawed. Why?
Yeah, we won't agree on that, I suppose. I don't believe there's an agenda specifically targeting the Springboks. But I do think there's an agenda to make rugby less inclusive. All right. Or that's just the byproduct. They're trying to make rugby more exciting. But for a lot of us fans, some, you know, more traditional rugby fans, we enjoy the set piece. We enjoy the big guys, the big boys running 30 meters with the ball, an oxen chair running down, you know, Richard Bands back in the day against the All Blacks. Those are exciting things to see. And we want to welcome, you know, the big boys to the game too. And if you're taking away the scrum, then you might as well go watch rugby where it's not about the scramble, the set pieces, and it's about the running. So that is definitely disappointing.
But that's exactly it. That's what Sevens there for. If you don't like the set pieces and the big things, go and watch the Sevens. It's that without celebrating the likes of a Frans Malherbe and a Tad Furlong and Wyatt Crockett, the legends of the game that have done such great work there, are just as good as to watch as a backline try.
Absolutely. If not more exciting, right? It's a lot more exciting to watch Frans Malherbe pacing it down the wing for 30 meters.
Exactly. I'm watching him smash into some awaiting fullback. Ronnie, the French match against the world team has mysteriously been cancelled. When I looked it up, not much reason for it's given. But that was a team that was said to be coached by Ian Foster, featuring the likes of Owen Farrell, Manutua Lagi, and some other legends. That will no longer be going ahead. But great news from Loftus. Marco van Staden has signed for a further 3 years for the Blue Bulls. They'll be happy about that, eh?
Yeah, I'm glad you clarified that, because in the agenda, it says Marco van Staden sings for 3 more years. So I haven't been seeing him singing recently, but I'm glad you rectified that and he's signed for.
Yeah, Ronnie, whatever. Sam Kane, he will be retiring from Test Rugby at the end of the year. He's off to Japan, which will make him ineligible for the All Blacks. He's contributed a lot. Hopefully not just going to be remembered for the card he gave away in the World Cup final.
Well, if you keep reminding everyone like you just did, he's going to be remembered for that. But look, you're right. He's definitely been an unlucky player. Because we also talk about Scott Burke coming back from his neck injury back in the day and how tough he was. Sam Kane came back from a pretty severe neck injury too. So he's been very unlucky in his career. And then to sort of end it off in the All Blacks jersey with a loss in the final and red card after 20-something minutes, it's unlucky for him. But he is definitely, in my opinion, a legend of the All Blacks.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree with you, Ronnie. Then just to wrap it up, the May Fokchom moment of the week. That one is going out to Angelo Davids for his catch of the ball, his quick feet to step through the tackles, and then his dancing feet to kick out the last attempt at an ankle tap before touching it down, Ronnie. What a try, hey?
Yeah, something you could never do.
Yeah. We'll see. I've just started running. Give me 8 years.
Shuffling, you mean. Go and step where you shuffle.
Well, guys, that's it for today's episode.
Thanks for joining for the banter and staying for the chat. My Fokchom, that was luck.
Make sure you smash that like button and subscribe on your preferred listening platform so you won't miss a moment of the madness.
Catch you back here next Wednesday.